This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Lema Mutin, who is our nutritionist in residence, and we're talking about your questions. Questions come to us via radioprogram@AOL.com. And without repeating the question, the question's about OCD. It's a listener who's asking us on behalf of her mother, who has frequent ritualistic behaviors, hand-washing, perhaps germ phobia, fear of contamination. And this really fits the diagnosis of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, which is a common chronic and long-lasting disorder in which a person has uncontrollable, recurring thoughts that are intrusive, obsessive thoughts and behaviors. Obsessive behaviors sometimes cause compulsions. You are compelled to do these things. Beyond your control. That he or she feels the urge to repeat over and over. And a classic example of which was very early in my career, I saw a patient who had, told me that she had OCD. And I examined her, you know, as I do on a first visit. And she I was leaving the room and she crooked her finger at me. She said, "Dr. Hoffman, can I ask you something?" I said, "Yeah, sure." She said, "Could you please examine me two more times?" And I said, "Really? Well, I've examined you to my satisfaction." She says, "Yes, but I always want to double and triple check." And I said, my response was, I remember it to this day, I said, "You may have obsessive compulsive disorder. However, I do not have obsessive compulsive disorder.
I don't need to examine you two more times.
And in my opinion, one exam will suffice." So let's, get dressed and let's proceed to our consultation. So, but, that illustrates the nature of that. And it actually sometimes may, OCD may have different manifestations. It may also be around not just ritualistic behaviors, hand-washing, germ phobia, but intrusive thoughts, like thoughts that are unwanted, like sometimes very graphic sexual thoughts that just come into the mind, almost at random, but with a relentlessness that makes them embarrassing and hard to control. I've seen that variant on OCD as well.
That's interesting.
So
that is the actual ritual, is the intruding thought. Well, they're not washing their hands in an effort to shield themselves from the thoughts.
It's a mental
OCD.
Then there's also a common form of OCD is trichotillomania, which is another form of OCD, I think, is compulsive drinking, which is sometimes referred to as dipsomania. I love that word.
Dipsomania.
Dipsomania.
Which like excessive drinking of water?
Water, It's just like, having like this tick, almost like a tick of, reaching for the water and having that. And I think a lot of people have that these days. So there, absolutely, one thing that we all have these days is the checking of our devices. It's reinforced and induced. But for some people, it just becomes just really debilitating.
I mean, it's one thing if you're at work and you have your phone on silent and you've not looked at it, and now you get to look at it because you're not going to hear it ring or buzz, or maybe you don't even have it on vibrate. It's one thing to check from time to time to see if you got that call that you were waiting for, or your spouse or significant other has tried to reach you, or something about the kids. But people who are obsessively looking at their phones.
There's also a theory that biologically or from an evolutionary standpoint, some people are endowed with OCD as a personality trait that is adaptive to the survival of the species. so that there are individuals who are checkers, who are much more vigilant, who check and check and check.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, by the way, in certain professions, you kind of want a little bit, you want your accountant to be a little OCD. You want your airline pilot to be a little OCD.
Sure. I mean, you know, your surgeon.
Hopefully to get off the ground.
Yeah.
You want your doctor to maybe be a little OCD, although it's hell on the doctor. If a doctor,
right.
You know, I've known some doctors who are OCD, and it's just, they just get all tied up in knots. They can't get away from themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so there's a,
wow.
A nutritional therapy that may be beneficial for that. It's also been thought to be beneficial in gambling, which is a form of repetitive ritualistic behavior, you know, that slot machine thing. It's,
can I guess? N-acetylcysteine?
N-acetylcysteine, yeah. NAC has been shown to have some benefits in that. However, it's not a slam dunk.
Yeah.
It may take the edge off OCD behaviors.
Yeah.
Also, I think there is some evidence on fish oil. Omega-3, I think, has been shown to have some potential benefit there.
I think there's a pandemic deficiency of omega-3
right.
in our country, at the very least in our country. So I think most people are chronically low mm-hmm. in beneficial omega-3 fatty acids, which help your neurotransmitters to fire
mm-hmm.
When you have very fluid cell membranes. It helps that to fire. If, in fact, instead of omega-3, because we're deficient in it, there's too much of the other bad fats, like trans fats, it makes these cell membranes very rigid.
Yeah.
And your neurotransmitters aren't going to fire, and you're not going to function that well mentally. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, so the NAC plugs into the glutathione equation, which is an antioxidant. It's not exactly clear how it might work in OCD.
I think our electronic devices are making us more OCD, too.
Yeah.
If you have a smartphone, you know.
It's hard to draw the line then between, you know, the nature of this type of OCD versus a collective OCD that we have that may be merely manipulation and conditioning of the population, because they've basically given us toys which are highly reinforcing,
mm-hmm.
you know, that really mm-hmm. plug into that part of the brain that is the reward center of the brain. You know, just like any addictive substance.
Yeah.
So in terms of medications have limited efficacy. One is anafrenil, which is an old-fashioned tricyclic antidepressant. I think they're experimenting with newer medications for OCD.
Okay.
So, you know, it's tough. It's a tough condition, and sometimes hard to... It is associated with anxiety.
Okay.
And it's actually one way that sometimes people cope with anxiety through mm-hmm. ritualistic behaviors.
Yeah. I think I would add, in addition to fish oil and N-acetylcysteine, I would add magnesium. And if there is an anxiety component, which it's obvious to us that it is, I would add some zinc and B6.
Yep.
That could also be very helpful for for
and
anxiety.
So the other element to this is that in animals who chase their tails, I mean, that's sort of an animal model for OCD.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
You see the dog.
Yeah. And
fun to watch, but...
if you give them...
Poor thing.
In early experiments, when they gave them Prozac, they stopped chasing their tails. Veterinarians, we have a comment from one of our listeners who says that I mispronounce veterinarian.
Veterinarian.
I kind of
you say it like a New Yorker?
No.
But you're not a New Yorker. You're from California.
I think California they say veterinarian.
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 Yeah.
But it is a veterinarian.
Veterinarian.
Anyway, vets give animals animal versions of SSRIs to curb. And also that licking behavior, that thing that's stop licking. You know,
stop.
You know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I saw a funny cartoon where they showed a guy with a cell phone in his hand, wearing a big cone, like those animals who lick themselves.
Yes.
And it prevented him from looking at his phone. That was a great cartoon.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So anyway,
we'll see a lot of humans walking around with cones around their heads.
Yeah. Maybe that's
that would be it.
The new app.
Oh, my gosh. Right.
So, you know, mom could also benefit from cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah.
Cognitive behavioral therapy basically is around the idea of, like, stop. And, you know, one technique is to give people, like, an elastic band and have them put it around their wrist.
Yep.
And when they start doing it, they just snap it.
Negative
and
feedback.
And it's like, get out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, just stop it because
snap out
it's
of
the
it.
Mind is chattering.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mm-hmm. the mind chatters on.
Yeah. Interesting. Jean is also asking, is there a way to find therapists that take Medicaid and Medicare?
Don't know.
Go to your insurance website.
It is a problem because more and more therapists are not taking insurance.
Yeah.
Because they're miserable with the reimbursement they get.
Yeah. It either takes too long or it's way too low.
Because I did meet a psychiatrist, you know, it was a social thing, and he said the insurance was killing me. He says, I would get like so little for these patients. I would get like $60. I'd spend an hour with a patient.
Wow.
And I get like $60. I couldn't pay my rent. So I hired like an office manager, mm-hmm. Like business consultant person. And the person reorganized my practice. It's terrific now. I'm making money hands over fist. I said, well, how'd you do that? He says, well, I see 12 patients an hour. I don't talk to them anymore. I just give them medication and I send them to therapists if they want to talk, you know, so I don't talk anymore.
Yeah.
So isn't that interesting? Is that the economic forces have,
right,
have right. militated towards the wielding of medication as mm-hmm. opposed to the careful, mm-hmm. you know, analysis and talk therapy that used to be the mainstay of psychiatry.
That's interesting.
I mean, just economic forces have superseded that.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Yep.
Jean, we wish you luck and we wish your mother luck as well.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's allow one of our sponsors to share this important message with you. Here goes. Listen up.
Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1. With no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest-fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to our questions. What's next, Layla?
We have a question from Cheryl. Hi, my name is Cheryl. I live in Sacramento, and I often frequent health food stores, and each time I go, I learn so many new things. Of course, I listen to your podcast almost daily when I take my walks. So also curious about upcoming health news. Today, I heard something about oxygen therapy with exercise. Could you talk about this on your podcast? Clarify what health benefits
right.
this may have, especially for an older adult female.
Okay. Well, this is not new. I mean, oxygen was considered a miracle substance when it was first, you know, made available commercially for medical applications.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was discovered, you know, literally centuries ago. But the idea being that if you could simply drive more oxygen into your body, you'll do better.
Mm.
You know, this is actually what happens sometimes. People have circulatory problems. They don't get enough oxygen to their tissue, like in someone who's developing claudication.
Yes.
They simply are not, the blood's not circulating there. It's not delivering oxygen. You experience pain because of oxygen deprivation. Then there may be infection that sets in and, you know, you lose a toe, you lose a foot, you lose a leg. So the idea has, you know, been developed that oxygen is going to be helpful. there is this notion of hyperbaric oxygen, which actually helps in situations like that. You know, it's driving oxygen at very high pressure into the body for healing purposes.
Very therapeutic.
I think, and there's a whole science to that, and there really is something to it.
Good for everything from wound healing to cancer.
Lyme disease, multiple sclerosis in some cases, post-stroke, you know, where literally there's been some oxygen deprivation to the brain. Healing from radiation burns. I mean, I just talked to a patient who had radiation burns damage, and they said that it was healed with hyperbaric oxygen because of the poor circulation of the tissue. So that's one form of oxygen breathing, in effect. Then there's this whole idea that if you exercise, you know, you're going to do better. And in fact, studies have shown that if you take oxygen while exercising, you will perform longer. But realistically, you can't do that. You know, you can't carry around an oxygen tank while you're running a, you know, 440 or running a mile.
Yeah, that oxygen tank weighs something.
Yeah, so practically speaking, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
So one application that we've seen of that is, you know, these football players, and we see it less frequently because they actually demonstrated conclusively that it doesn't do anything except have a placebo effect. You know, so they're huffing and puffing. They've been like, you know, these linemen who, you know, clash repeatedly in scrimmages, and then it's a hot day, and they sit down and they put on the oxygen mask, or maybe like a defensive end or something like that, you know, who's, you know, repeatedly has to do wind sprints to cover a wide receiver. You know, they run to the sidelines and snort some oxygen, you know, put on the oxygen mask. It's actually not shown to improve recovery. And here's why, is that if you have, it all depends on your hemoglobin. If you have a normal hemoglobin, your hemoglobin will be saturated to a large extent. How do we know? Well, I do that test in the office. You know, when I put a little thing on a person's
pulse
finger.
Pulse ox. Yeah.
98% in a normal person. So your hemoglobin is saturated 98%. So by taking oxygen, what are you going to do? You're going to increase it to 99%? That's a negligible increase.
Yeah.
So what
yeah.
can you do? You could sort of carbonate your blood, maybe dissolve some more oxygen in your blood, but studies show that that
would just cause you to yawn.
Well,
wouldn't it?
Not necessarily.
To get rid of excess carbon dioxide?
No, that's carbon dioxide.
Okay.
There's a physiology to this. You cannot, put bubbles of oxygen into your blood beyond a certain point. So you're really not going to augment your oxygen that much under normal atmospheric conditions. You need hyperbaric oxygen to do that under pressure.
Okay. Yeah.
That'll push more oxygen a little bit more in. What does make a difference is if you exercise at altitude, you know, like Everest climbers, they'll carry oxygen tanks and that'll help them do better.
Yeah.
But the problem is the weight of the oxygen tank may cancel the benefits of the oxygen.
Sure.
And some climbers really prefer to really limit the use of that.
To acclimate
instead. Actually has been shown to be more effective for athletic performance is oxygen deprivation. So some people there are these masks which deprive you of oxygen, and you're supposed to run, and you know, it's like torture, but you're limiting the amount of air you can take in, and that trains you to be more efficient at the oxygen utilization when you're normal. The other thing you can do is you can sleep in a oxygen deprivation tent, which replicates what it's like at high altitude.
Wow.
What ends up happening is you build a blood count. You increase your blood count. That's also done in doping, where they increase the blood counts with erythropoietin, or EPO.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Blood doping. So that could be a form
of
doping.
Or you take a transfusion. That way you increase your oxygen.
Okay.
Because you have more hemoglobin to carry oxygen. It's all about the hemoglobin.
Okay.
So
make sure your hemoglobin, make sure you're not anemic.
Anemic.
Yeah.
Actually, in
that's
that sense,
really
iron is actually maybe, you know, beneficial there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's one of those hypey things, really. Bottom line, I think I looked it up and it's like all this, exercise ox or whatever it's called. There's terms for it. I don't think it does much of anything. Except give you maybe transient performance and endurance that wears off ultimately.
Okay. Interesting.
So we have another question?
We do. Okay, let's see here. We have a question from Gary. On a recent program, you mentioned colostrum LD, and you mentioned a potential indication for autoimmune disease. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so the idea is that in autoimmune disease, we see a lot of gut problems, and in particular, leaky gut syndrome or altered intestinal permeability. And so what happens is colostrum has a healing effect on the gut, and it can help as a remedy for leaky gut syndrome, which we believe is the basis for many autoimmune conditions. And so, and by the way, you've touched upon a sponsor. Which is colostrum. Uh-huh. And I think that person has asked me to interview someone. Is that part of that question?
Let's see here. Okay, I found a Mr. Wyatt to be a wealth of information.
Right. So I think that this person says, why don't you interview this person? Well, I did.
Yeah. This would be a great...
I did.
Yay, yeah. Gary.
So that's actually one of the reasons why I include that question is, you know, it's like, oh, by the way, I did interview that person. And it may have been before or after this email was sent. It was right around the time this email was sent, is that we did interview Doug Wyatt, who is a wealth of information about the type of colostrum he makes. And full disclosure, they're a sponsor, but I wanted him to share that information because they make a really a liposomal delivery system. That's why it's called colostrum LD, which stands for liposomal delivery, which means, you know, colostrum is a delicate substance that can be digested and broken down through the stomach acid. And when it's in liposomal form, it's got a greater chance of surviving and penetrating to the lower GI tract.
Colostrum is found in mother's milk, I think in the first letdown of milk in the first 2 to 3 days.
Yeah, and it primes the immune system, and it also does something to, it has substances that actually help to foster the growth of healthy microorganisms.
Yeah.
So it acts as sort of a prebiotic in some ways, too.
Very beneficial.
As well as, you know, immune-enhancing and so on.
Yeah. Gary, thank you for your question.
Did we have one more question, or do we want to save that for next week?
I think we're going to save this one for next week, because this will be a longer one.
The long question?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all she wrote for this week's edition of Intelligent Medicine's Q&A with Layla. Thanks, Layla, for joining us, and thank you, listeners, for sharing an hour or so of your time with us.
Thank you, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Remember, radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. This is Intelligent Medicine.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.